This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull freaking horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right. You don't know what the fuck we don't know what the fuck we're talking about here. Yeah, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about, but we're here anyway. And we're a confluence of idiots here, which is the provisional show title for episode 189 of The Lotus Effect, which you know by now. Show's made up. The content doesn't matter. And I'm Phone Boy.
He was hung like a donkey.
Oh my God.
Look at the size of that thing.
I can confirm he is, because I'm Phoenix.
Yeah, that's the after party. We're not talking about that right now. But, oh my. Yeah, we've had some stuff to freak out about over the last 24 hours. What do you think, honey?
Oh, just a lot.
Just a lot. We'll talk about that a little later.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
Freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're experiencing the Lotus Effect, you might freak out. It affects everyone differently, and so however and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we want to hear about it. We love to hear about it, in fact.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, we invest a lot of time in putting this show together, and we operate on the value-for-value model, which consists of those three T's of time, talent, and treasure. Now you can send us treasure, and you can do that by going to lotuseffect.show and clicking on that green We Like Money button and send us some cash via PayPal, or if you prefer using Cash App, you can do that using the cash tag $TheLotusEffect33. Now, we also have our merch store at lotuseffect.shop, where you can buy our crap that's been smeared with our brand feces. We're proud of our brand feces. You can also do a one-time or recurring donation via this site. It's possible. And now we can talk about those who had sent us a value via the Fiat Fun coupons this week, and I don't think we have anything. That's okay. We understand that things are tight right now. That's not why we do this anyway. We want to make sure the investment that we make in putting this show together is actually valuable. And what we find the most valuable is just letting us know you're listening. Send back the ACK. It takes a minute or two. And the ways you can do that, well, first of all, if you're listening to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, we appreciate that. And we'd love it if you'd also rate and review us while you're there. And, of course, you can find us in those two podcast apps. And of course, all of that, but you can also, if you're a social media type person, you can also interact with us on
Mastodon.
So send us a message on that massive dong. Our handles are PhoneBoy, PhoneBoy, at lotuseffect.social. My partner here is Phoenix, and that's PHEONIX at lotuseffect.social. It's different than the other spelling. And, of course, you can also send us email at I don't give a fuck at lotuseffect.show. If you want to send us something snail mail, you hit us up in the back channel. We'll send you an address. But we also really love it when you join the chat while we're doing something, which is usually during Rideshare Radio, which is Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, or during the Lotus Effect in Studio 33, which starts on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central.
Except for when we decide to pre-come for an hour.
Yeah. But yeah, we usually get on a little bit early to get the stream warmed up and all that. Now, you can also...
Would that be considered a euphemism for sex, getting the stream warmed up? Hey-o!
Possibly. That's called foreplay, honey.
I wouldn't know.
Oh my goodness.
Breaking the balls.
Okay. Well, you can break our balls, by the way. One of the ways you can do that is by calling or texting 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, well
apparently
yeah.
I was boozy for that comment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what the hell? So Google Voice is going to answer this and probably mangle the transcript. And yet they want to have AI transcribe things. Google's been trying to do this for a long time, and they've been giving us really shitty results. Do you think AI is going to do a better job? Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway. So we use it for show titles because, you know, what better way than to do that. Now, you can also give us feedback that way if that's how you want to do it. You can either call or text it to us. And one of the things we ask every week is we have a weigh-in topic. And this week, the weigh-in topic is, well, because it's summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, what's your favorite summer activity? Let us know what you like to do during the summer. So 253-237-3321.
Well, you know, I think we have effectively explained ourselves as we do, so it's time to take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide, and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
But what I'm not going to take is this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
Yeah, be respectful. We recently had a bit of a hell thread that started on the massive dong due to somebody being completely disrespectful and retarded, and we handled it appropriately. It was perfectly fine, and... as you do, when you don't feed the trolls, they dry up and blow away like the shit that some of them are, not all, because we have some trolls that we dearly love.
Yes, well, and anyway, we do not love this next...
we have some advice, remember?
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm jumping ahead because, yeah, but...
You're all over the place.
Yeah, I'm all over the place, man.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, today
they're counting on us to get it right, and you're already jumping the shark.
Okay. Please. I'm going to be healthier than these guys would ever do. If you have to, what? Oh, yeah. That's what I was doing. Yeah. Well, no. But I. That's what I've. Yeah. I'm going to. Did we already play? No, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. That's. I was trying to lead to that.
Well, I wasn't sure because you kind of went all over the map like a drunk tourist.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Our health segment will never, ever, ever be...
brought to you by Pfizer.
Okay, that was clear. Now, 6 foods to avoid while drinking coffee, according to some expert.
Coffee. No.
Now, we know what a dietitian really is. An expert. And we know what an expert is. An expert is somebody who merely claims that their expertise, right? And anyway, this expert has some things to say about what you shouldn't consume with coffee. Number one, they talk about citrus fruits. Now, that doesn't seem like two tastes would go together, personally. Drinking coffee while eating citrus fruits may cause digestive discomfort since coffee is naturally acidic. Yeah, it is. It's something I contend with on my own. Coffee's pH levels average between 4.85 and 5.13 on a scale of 0 to 14, with lower numbers indicating increasing acidity. Citrus fruits and their juices are highly acidic and may contribute to gastrointestinal reflux disease, or GERD.
Actually, it's gastroesophageal reflux.
Oh, gastroesophageal.
That's the E in GERD, is esophageal.
Oh, esophageal. Oh, well... gee, that's a $3 word, and I might buy it for $1. Now, it may cause nausea, bloating, and heartburn.
Blech.
Yeah, well, and consuming coffee and citrus fruits together can irritate the stomach lining and exacerbate those symptoms. Yeah, I don't think I would want to do that. Now, the tangy, tart taste of citrus fruits may also alter the taste of coffee by making it bitter and less enjoyable. Now, number two is red meat.
Eat steak, eat steak, eat a big old steer.
And we love eating red meat here. And coffee apparently impacts the nutrient absorption in general, and heme iron in particular. Now, red meat is one of the best sources of heme iron, meaning drinking coffee with your steak could decrease its health benefits. Wait, okay, so honey, this article isn't shitting on red meat for once. What the hell?
I know, I'm absolutely shocked myself, but wait for it, because it gets worse.
Oh, yes. Well, we talk about milk.
Milk. It does a body good.
Now, consistent with the above, you don't absorb as much of the calcium from milk when drinking with coffee, or so the theory goes. Now, you shouldn't be drinking milk anyway. It has 16 grams of sugar per serving, no matter the fat content. And if you're going to consume milk, however, make sure it's full fat or, you know, fucking heavy cream.
How about new?
Yeah, exactly. Now, we talk about fried foods. That's another thing you shouldn't eat anyway. It has nothing to do with coffee, though. Same thing with fortified breakfast cereals.
Fortified with 8 vitamins plus iron.
Yeah, let's see my previous point. Let's talk about number 6 on the list, which is high sodium foods.
When it rains, it pours.
Oh, my God, yes.
I have to ask a question. Did that not sound like the guy that does the voice for Winnie the Pooh?
That guy did a lot of voices for a lot of commercials back in the day.
It would actually be interesting to know if the same guy who does the voice of Winnie does that voice.
Yeah, I can assure you that the answer to that question is yes, honey. I can.
You're totally sure of that?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, it's a very distinctive voice.
Yes, I understand. When I think of, he's actually the Winnie the Pooh I tend to think of when I think when we're anyway we're getting way off topic here.
We are, sorry.
Because coffee contains many biologically active compounds that directly affect your blood pressure. Now, while research indicates that drinking 1 to 3 cups of coffee daily isn't likely to have adverse effects on blood pressure levels, and Vinny likes to point out that basically coffee and water are the two safest things in the world to drink, and I don't disagree with him. Now, however, excessive caffeine intake can aggravate hypertension, or otherwise known as high blood pressure. Now, what they say you should eat is foods like almonds, fresh berries, and oatmeal that can offer health benefits that coffee can't. Now, oatmeal, that stuff they claim controls your blood sugar definitely does that. The problem is it keeps it higher than it should in the process, but yeah.
Yeah, it keeps it controlled from coming down.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's coming down. So,
And quite frankly, when you think about it, it's ew. It's gross. I truly think that the fact that they recommend eating oatmeal, are we horses? Are we animals, folks? Do we need to strap a feed sack on our faces? No. We should be eating those fucking animals, not eating like them. Much like the animals who are prescribing these statin drugs. Now, they've actually posed a question. According to the internet, statin drugs are a villain. But do they deserve it?
Drugs are bad. You shouldn't do drugs.
Inside the average doctor's office, statins aren't controversial. They're a crucial life-saving tool used to lower dangerously high cholesterol levels, reducing the risk of heart attack.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
On social media, however, the drug is often vilified, portrayed as a poison pill or a symptom of a diseased medical system. That's mostly what Big Pharma is poison running through your veins. And recently, influencers have claimed that statins cause more harm than good and have endless side effects. Others take even bigger swings, claiming that the fundamental science behind cholesterol is a myth, one that's used simply to sell more statins.
All the time our customers ask us, how do you make money doing this? The answer is simple. Volume.
Well, they certainly are dealing in volume when it comes to these meds. Now, how did a boring, generic pharmaceutical, a drug prescribed to 200 million people worldwide, become controversial?
The world may never know.
Part of the answer is influencers who proselytize ketogenic and carnivore diets, promising weight loss and other health benefits through the consumption of high-fat and limiting carbohydrates.
Beautiful. Yum.
That's right. It's what we tout around here. Definitely high fat. Limit those carbs. Stay away from the Hateful Eight seed oil group. Don't consume the sugar. You've heard us barking and howling about it for 3 years now. Now, when adhering to one of these diets, the body uses fat as its main fuel source instead of carbohydrates, which can lead to loss of body fat while maintaining muscle mass. The success of these diets is often bolstered by fit social media influencers eating red meat off a cutting board, touting the benefits of their preferred version of a low-carbohydrate, high-fat diet. One influencer even claimed that her transition from a vegan diet to a carnivore diet cured her of everything from brain fog to flatulence.
Yeah. I mean, it does actually happen with Lee Eric Keith. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, she actually said, look, I had all these problems. I tried this. I literally tried this. This was like the last thing. And like overnight, like a bunch of shit that was bugging her just went away. Right. I mean, this is actually like the reality. Right. And they're trying to claim that this is false. Yeah. Ask Lee Eric Keith about it. I mean,
all of the other people who have done the no sugar, no grain, I'll drop it. Vinny Tortorich, check him out. We are going to keep talking about this man because he's the one who brought us to the table on it.
Yeah, well, and oh my God, that motherfucker just says some funny ass shit. That's
he
all.
Really does. We have a shit ton of clips from him. Yeah. But the point is, he's not wrong, folks. You can't tell me. All right, they won't do any studies on this because they're afraid to find out that all of the bullshit they've been touting to you is wrong and they're going to look like a bunch of dicks. So they refuse the fact that there are probably hundreds of thousands at this point of people who have been on this lifestyle
or done variations and have done very well for themselves. I mean, yeah.
In particular who was, what, he ballooned up to like 600 pounds after a gastric bypass surgery?
Yes, and
the man is now doing, what, triathlons?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, tell me again how this particular diet, this lifestyle isn't exactly what you need to do instead of taking a jab of Gila Monster venom. Yeah, let me know about it. Yeah. I'll wait. So, yeah. But keto and carnivore have been associated with dramatic increases in low-density lipoproteins, the LDL cholesterol, which is most strongly associated with heart disease, often called the bad cholesterol.
Bullshit!
Science!
Rejecting the lipid hypothesis, many influencers cast doubt on the widely accepted concept that cholesterol contributes to atherosclerosis, which is the buildup of fats and cholesterol in and on the artery walls.
Strike three. I used to believe everything I'd see on the news, but that's before I discovered a brain.
A brain is meant for everyday use. Those living with...
So, clinical lipidologist Tom Dayspring describes claims like these as ketogenic nonsense. He says that patients might not experience any symptoms of atherosclerosis until it's too late. What some people don't understand, Dayspring explains, is that heart disease only presents symptoms like chest pain and arrhythmia in the very late stages of progression. Symptoms, Dayspring notes, can't be used to diagnose the disease. Most people are dropping dead before they get any symptoms of heart disease, he said.
He's full of shit.
Yeah, and that guy is full of shit.
Yeah.
Because, I'm curious if Mr. Dayspring is familiar with this thing called a calcium score, which is something you can use to diagnose whether there's a problem before there's an actual problem, right? And I'm pretty sure every single one of these carnivore influencers out there had the exact same calcium score I did when I got checked because of something that they saw. Well, a zero. Well, and that means my 10-year risk of getting a heart attack is somewhere between the risk of hell freezing over or the possibility of curing someone of their Trump derangement syndrome. But I digress. The article goes on. I mean, wow. I mean, and they talk about all of this stuff. I think this is actually... that was all I wanted to talk about in that because I had the one thing... because I have that experience because I've actually gotten scanned and know what I have. And I know my risk is pretty goddamn low of getting something happening.
Exactly. And now, like he was saying, the article does go on to talk about how LDL works, why statins work at lowering LDL, and even discusses side effects. If you ever think you might need to take one of these because your drug dealer, doctor, prescribes one, ask them what the NNT, the number needed to treat, on the medication is, and then decide for yourself if the risk is worth the possible reward.
Consult your doctor before using this product. Side effects may include oily discharge, hives, loss of appetite, low blood pressure. If you have diabetes or a history of kidney trouble, you're dead, asshole.
Yeah, so the number needed to treat, which is the number of people that's needed to take the treatment for one person to receive a positive benefit from it. So the higher that number is, the better is. That means let's take a hypothetical drug, right? Let's say it requires 333 people to take the drug for one person to receive benefit. Well, that's a lot of people that might have lots of negative side effects. Now, that's a large number. But
I have a question, Phone Boy, because I'm pretty sure you actually know the NNT on statins. What are they?
Well, they're more than like 150. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, right? So that means 150 people have to take the statin for one person to receive a benefit from it. So it seems kind of interesting that you would prescribe a drug that might impact like everybody, right?
Because what is one of the largest side effects that these statins have, perchance?
Type 2 diabetes, maybe?
Oh, could it be?
Which is what I told my doctor when I said, I happened to read the side effects and I said type 2 diabetes. So no, I will not be taking this drug any longer. You can take this and shove it up your ass as far as that goes.
Here's what we're saying about this, y'all. We're not expressly pounding on the table saying, don't take it. We're saying, question your paid pharmacist. Make them get the test, the calcium score, instead of just blindly accepting, it's a doctor, it's an authority figure, I have to do what they say. No, the hell you don't. You have a brain. You have free will and free thought. And you can use that brain to realize that a lot of the things that are coming out of their mouths are coded in dollar signs and that they're bought and paid for just by what you're hearing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe I think it's time to switch us to buzz on over to the topic at hand for the next story, which is the buzz about bee pollen.
Them buzzy fuckers.
Yeah, them buzzy fuckers. It's not honey. Bees can collect pollen from flowers and take it to the hive as a food store. During this process, it mixes with nectar and secretions from the bees, a bit like saliva, to form the bee pollen. Now, its granules have a nutty, earthy, and slightly sweet flavor. You could add them to yogurt, smoothies, and salads, or even bake with them.
Dozens of loving like something from the oven.
Oh my God, who was it that sang in that commercial?
Maureen McCormick.
Oh my God, yes, that was, yeah, we were...
1960s.
There you go. Bee pollen, one of the Brady kids, by the way, in case you're curious, right?
Yes, yes, the original.
Yes, bee pollen is also sold in capsules, and it's typically the form that's used in research studies where participants might take doses of 2 to 3 grams for up to 12 weeks. And you might have seen it pop up in your Instagram or TikTok feeds. No, you probably... No, okay, obviously none of our readers or none of our listeners probably consume any of that shit, but bee pollen has been in use for decades. It's been said that Muhammad Ali used it in his fitness regime, a reference to his infamous sting, perhaps.
Coincidence? I think not!
Now, online supplement sellers and fitness forums have linked bee pollen to better endurance capacity, muscle mass, strength, and recovery from high-intensity efforts. Now, these claims aren't wholly surprising, as many of the individual nutrients in bee pollen are associated with fitness benefits. Yeah, so carbohydrates and B vitamins are known to be important for producing energy. Well, actually, carbohydrates themselves are energy, but anyway, protein is of course important for muscle and strength. Although you probably get more protein from a big old steer. Polyphenols have broad antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, and quercetin, a specific polyphenol within bee pollen, has been linked with collagen production to support strong tendons and ligaments. It would actually be hard for bee pollen pollen as a whole to have proven benefits as far as your fitness goals go. Bee pollen is not just one thing. It's made by bees from different regions of the world using different flowers in different seasons.
Everything turn. There is a season
Yes, and we'd love that song. All right, anyway. So accordingly, it can contain very different nutrients, and it's possible that different bee pollens could have very different effects on your body, which is exactly what makes it beneficial for allergy sufferers. I mean, I still mix local honey in with apple cider vinegar. I mean, it does help, so I don't see why not. And thankfully, I've been needing it a whole lot less lately since I stopped, consuming all the things I probably shouldn't have been consuming anyway, but now I have a definite reason not to, because I will tell you what, yes, my allergies have been a whole lot more manageable. This is probably the first morning I've woken up in forever that I didn't actually immediately have to go clean my sinuses out or something.
It was quite nice to have that reprieve.
Yes, it was. Everything is getting better in that regard, and I'm not having to use as much of that because, of course, honey's probably not if you have to have something as a sweetener, it's probably not the worst thing. However, it's still sugar, and I probably don't need it. So
that's right, because your liver's a meritocracy. We've talked about it. Speaking of sugar, we're going to talk about the truth about your blood sugar. Ta-da!
Diabetes. Have a good day.
The experts think influencers have blood sugar wrong.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
The main thing you've probably heard about blood sugars is to beware the peaks and troughs. But what does this really mean?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, imagine eating a slice of soft, fluffy white bread. As you digest it, your body breaks the carbohydrates down into glucose. This simple sugar then enters your bloodstream. Or, if you're foam boy, you have migraines and other kinds of headaches and body aches for a couple weeks. But anyway, if you're metabolically healthy, your body responds by releasing insulin, a hormone that helps to shuttle the glucose out of your blood and into your cells where it can be used for energy. As insulin does its job, your blood sugar levels begin to drop. Now, because white bread is a refined carbohydrate, it's quickly broken down into glucose. This can cause a sharp rise in blood sugar, followed by a rapid insulin response to bring it back down. The result? A relatively high blood sugar peak leading to a low trough. That all sounds well and good, unless you're one of the millions of people who've been consuming too much sugar. Your body stops reacting to the insulin being produced, and the body produces more and more. And you eventually have what Vinny's going to talk about here.
What happens is you keep dropping insulin, and by the time you start to wane from that, you start to feel hungry in the middle of the day. And what do you need? Oh, you need to fill your stomach up. So you'll eat more grains and more grains and more grains and more grains. It could come in the form of ice cream. It could come in the form of tortilla chips. It could come in the form of rice. It could come in the form of pasta or bread. Or bagels, you name it, but you get on this train where, oh my God, I'm getting ready to have another slump. I need to pick myself up again. And that insulin is just on that, turning all of that into long chain triglycerides, storing it as fat. And at the same time, you're becoming resistant to insulin.
And so A1C that feeling
go up. And when those A1Cs go up, they go, hey, we can artificially lower it. Here's some metformin. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's right. And the influencers, the experts, are writing this hit piece about are recommending sticking to low glycemic foods like vegetables, legumes, meat, fish, and healthy fats, which are said to keep blood sugar levels more stable. And to be fair, this advice isn't entirely wrong. According to the experts, it's true that eating protein, fiber, and fat alongside carbs can flatten your blood sugar response, but one of the most persistent and misleading myths about blood sugar is that the everyday peaks and troughs trigger harmful inflammation in your body.
I clearly don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
However, inflammation isn't always a bad thing, if it's short-term. Persistent inflammation, which most metabolically broken people have, is not a good thing. The article says for most people, the occasional rise and fall in blood sugar after meals is completely normal. Now, the Center for Disease and Control and Prevention of Your Health says that roughly half the U.S. population either has type 2 diabetes or has pre-diabetes. That doesn't sound like most people to us. And the article also bags on the use of a continuous glucose monitor to see what foods might do to your blood sugar. So why do these fucking people care what other people do to manage their fucking health? Oh, wait, I forgot.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby. That's what we know. So, yes, yeah, I've never understood this, and this is always when we talk about religion. It's like, why does anybody care what I believe? Why do I care what you believe? I don't really care. As long as we can have a conversation, and you know, you're good, you know, you're not a dick, and I'm not a dick, and we get along. I mean, I don't see why we can't have a conversation. You know, why is everything so fucking complicated? All right, I need to go woosa. I need to go back and find my happy place. Help me find my happy place, honey.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you!
That's Are right. you happy now, baby?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to be much happier after I read this story about a 12-year-old hero boy who saves a family from a blaze and secures his future job by impressing the fire chief.
Nice to meet you, folks! Fire Marshal Bill here.
Yes, after a young Virginian saved his family from a house fire, the local fire chief admitted that if he ever needed a job in his hometown, it's enough to come by the fire department.
How do you get a job here, fuckface?
So Ramir Parker, a seventh grader from the city of Petersburg near Richmond, was presented by the municipality with a special proclamation for demonstrating bravery and protective instincts of someone far older. It started in early June when a fast-moving fire quickly took hold of Parker's house while his younger siblings, aged 1 and 2, were asleep on the couch. Hearing a strange sound, Parker came down from the bedroom only to find a wall of black smoke.
Medics, medics, medics! Fire!
Yes, and in those instincts kicked in, and he rushed to scoop up his brother and sister, one in each arm, before carrying them out of the house. But there was someone else, his grandmother, and so going back in, he helped walk his grandmother out shortly before the fire department arrived 4 minutes after they got the call.
1 eternity later.
Yeah, in that context, yeah, 4 minutes does seem like an eternity. Petersburg Fire Chief Wayne Hoover didn't mince words about Parker's actions, even if his team arrived so quickly. The young man saved his family's life. Now, the city of Petersburg presented him with a proclamation that recognized Parker for demonstrating a level of bravery and presence of mind well beyond his years, while Chief Hoover made the lad an honorary firefighter. Yeah, I could go down. I go downstairs. It's just black smoke all through the house, Parker told the local CBS affiliate reporting on the story. I grabbed my 2-year-old brother. Then I grabbed the 1-year-old because the 1-year-old is smaller. And I fitted them inside my arms and we ran outside the house. Now, Hoover said when Parker turns 18, he's got a job with the fire brigade if he needs one.
Jobs, jobs, jobs and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yay! Yes. That's a great.
You did not just do the little girl yay.
Yeah, I did.
I love it.
I love this next story too, by the way.
I do too, because two bears escaped a wildlife park enclosure, devouring a 7-day supply of honey, and then they fell asleep.
Because I'm smarter than the average bear. Yeah.
Now, two young bears escaped from their enclosure at a UK wildlife park and devoured a week's worth of food store honey before falling asleep, according to the park in a report on Tuesday.
I'm rumbly in my tumbly. Time for something sweet.
Mish and Lucy, both age 4, got out of their enclosure at Wildwood Devon in southwest England on Monday afternoon. The pair made a beeline, no pun intended, for their food source where they scoffed snacks, including the 7-day supply of honey, the park statement said. The park released video of Lucy devouring the food and looking very pleased with herself. The bears posed no threat to the public at any point, although visitors on site were escorted to a secure building as a precaution.
Emergency. There's an emergency going on. Still going on. An
It's still an emergency. This is an emergency announcement.
So during the hour-long drama, the bears were continuously monitored both on the ground and via CCTV until they were returned to their enclosure by keepers and promptly fell asleep. Police were at the scene and an investigation was underway to determine how the animals managed to break out. The park said an operational error allowed the bears to escape without elaborating.
Ta-ta there, retard. He didn't follow proto, buddy. You're done.
The park, which covers 40 acres of gardens and woodland, is home to an array of wildlife, including brown bears, wolves, and Arctic foxes.
What does the fox say?
So Mish and Lucy were taken in by Wildwood in 2021 after being abandoned by their mother in a snowdrift in the Albanian mountains. Several attempts were made to reintroduce the cubs into the wild, but it became clear to conservationists that they couldn't survive on their own. I love that story. I can just imagine these two bears just wrecking the shit out of a honey display in this store. Just nom, 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 and then just hibernating for the afternoon with a big full belly of honey. That is so cute. I love that image.
Yeah, I think too. But I also love what we've got, coming up here, which is, of course, the cavalcade of stupidity.
Hi-dee-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. And since I'm MIA, here's Phone Boy to take over.
Rev is having to change his production schedule because his job schedule has changed. I'm glad to hear that things are going well in that regard for him. But I always have something reserved for exactly this reason. And so it's kind of funny because I do mention Dr. Demento in this because the group behind this song formed in 1986 with the intention of actually winning novelty song contests on radio station KZZP. Now, since this same group couldn't win more than once, they kept changing their name and won several times, including with the one we're about to play. Now, I, of course, heard it first on Dr. Demento, and, he still plays the damn song, or, at least until he's going to retire here pretty soon, I guess. But it appeared on the Funny Five as recently as 2023, so it leads some credence to the idea that he's played it, and it's a little catchy. And it is, in fact, a parody. So, from 1987, it's the Beastly Boys with Squirrels.
Squirrels. All we really are is squirrels. We're being hunted, we are squirrels. We are appealing, we are squirrels. We want to gather nuts, but people splatter our guts when they're on a country drive. It isn't easy to survive. Back in the other day,
all right, we'll play the full version in Studio 33. But it is a great track, I think.
It's gross and at the same time great.
Yes, exactly. It's not quite as bad as Hamster Love, though, I think.
Never. Nope. It's on the perma ban list.
Yeah, I still reserve the right to pull that one out occasionally, but I will be judicious in its usage of it. It's not something I like to play on a regular basis.
Yes, because of Sam's rule.
Yeah, well, that is exactly. Well, okay. Well, here's your segment here, which we call it the Tales from Rideshare segment.
Yes, and a few people actually did take that ride this week that were worth mentioning. The first one would be a gentleman who is from the country of Portugal who was going to the airport. I had the distinct honor of being his driver, and we had a phenomenal conversation about food, culture, the differences in, there and here. Not that large a difference, but there's a bit of a difference, and he enjoys kind of the calm, serene of where he was located in K-Town for the business and the stay that he had. So it was really awesome to have a chance to talk with him about the different seafood and, the the theory that Foamboy has, where if I'm not on the coast, I'm not eating seafood. It's very valid. He was talking about how you can just taste the difference between how fresh the fish is when you're on the coast versus, you know, being landlocked like here where we are. And he was also talking about tech. He kind of was in the tech industry. So we had an opportunity to conversate about, of course, my studies and the different things he's seen, the different things he's done. And there was also another man who also has a technology connection. And he was a gentleman who surprised me because when I picked him up, he hadn't really said much in the first moment or two. And then as soon as he spoke, I just knew. He was definitely not a local, so to speak. Turns out, he's been here 30 years, but he is originally from Sheffield, England, which he was surprised I knew where that was. And I, of course, gave credit to Emma Kenny, who does a really awesome true crime show on YouTube, and she talks about Sheffield a lot. Apparently, there's a lot of fucked up people who come from there. They do some shit that makes them famous for killing people. People over across the pond get a little weird. But he was a super awesome person to conversate with, and he was surprised that I knew certain, you know, words and such, because I referred to my friend who lives over there in Leeds. Because he drives a truck. I said, you know, he drove a lorry. And he's like, a lorry? He's like, nobody over here calls it that. And he said I was very, what did he say? Saxton versed or something like that. Kind of made me giggle. But he was a really great passenger and a super wonderful conversationalist. And another nice conversationalist I had was a woman who currently lives in Oakland, but was a teacher in DC, so mad credit to her for just the fact she was able to manage that particular job in a war zone like DC. But she loved it, and credit to her for it. But she had inadvertently, instead of renting her car from the airport location, she rented it from one that was probably 20 miles away. So we had a good piece of time to chit chat, and I suspect she will hopefully become a new listener. I gave her one of our business cards, and she said she had mentioned that she listens to podcasts. And I was like, well, since you listen to podcasts, you know, I just happen to have this card for the show that we do, and you might enjoy it. She's like, well, I like this. She's like, I've got plenty of time, so I'll give it a listen. So I'm hoping that she is having a smashing time at whatever she's in town for, and that she does get a chance to listen to the show and knows that we're giving her a shout out in the segment for being an awesome customer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it was funny because I did actually go look in the stats on Spotify. We have an additional listen on Spotify. So
and you know what? It might actually be from that passenger, because I did mention the fact she was the only person I did mention the fact that we're on Spotify too. Just happenstance.
Okay, well, we didn't get any followers, so but that's
well,
okay.
That's okay. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a slow uphill battle.
That's right. So,
but the last thing I had actually came last night, because as y'all know, I worked late, which was kind of fun, even though it was raining, and I don't like the rain when it comes to the nighttime because it just makes things so hard to see. Doesn't matter how many reflectors there are on the road, it's just arguably a huge shit show. But I had the best friend of the pitcher for the Smokies, which is our, I don't know, would they be considered AAA possibly?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but Farm League baseball team, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's.
I think it's kind of like what the Bemroses ditch us for occasionally.
Same basic idea. Yeah,
yeah, same.
Either double A or triple A kind of. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I guess his best friend is the pitcher, and they got rained out last night, which y'all know. I'm not trying to shit on the Smokies, but I think it's horrible that they moved the stadium and just dropped it in the center of the old city, basically. It's like a shoe that is trying to be stuffed on a foot that's too fat. There's just no two ways about it. But that's just my opinion as an opinionated Uber driver. So that's all I have for the Tales from Rideshare this week. You want to jam and have some toast, babe?
Sure, why not?
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun. And I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
Yeah, we do have some special plans. We're going to ask you to call 253-237-3321 and weigh in on what your favorite summer activity is. And my special plans are to do a little bit of this.
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
But going to Denny's?
Yeah, not going to Denny's, but it's leftovers. So, you know, I've cooked all week, honestly. That's why I didn't work a whole lot this week, but the amount I did work, you all heard about in Tales from Rideshare. But yeah, just leftovers. I don't even know if there's going to be a picture worthy for some of the stuff that was cooked.
Well, I actually, yeah, well,
I mean,
well
we
one
do
of the one of the
pictures because I take pictures of everything.
Yeah,
we took
pictures of one of the dishes because we had to send it to somebody else. So yeah, I think it is. Yeah, we do actually have some stuff that's really good, but. But yes, it is. We just this was also something that we didn't have to deal with today in the pre-stream. We usually have to worry doing, meal prep, and yeah, we didn't have to do that today. So.
And honestly, I actually have a majority of prep done for another meal I was going to make, and depending on if I don't like what's in the refrigerator for leftovers right now, I might just get inspired enough to whip that particular dish together, and eat that and offer it to you and whatever. We don't know. All we know is it's.
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yeah, and as far as things that are going in my mouth or not going in my mouth, well, I guess we can talk about the gluten thing. So now we're, what was it? We're probably like roughly 2.5 weeks since we've made the decision. Okay, we're not having this in my life in any capacity. And over the last couple of weeks, I've had to deal with various. I had my dose of migraines, and those headaches kind of tapered off for a little while. And then I also have been having kind of these random sort of, muscle pains and stuff like that. And it's just kind of, and I haven't been able to do a whole lot. They're having to do just kind of to keep things just sort of moving or whatever, but it's just kind of is moving around and not really making a lot of sense as to why. You know, physiologically, why it's doing all of this stuff, but it seems that my system is trying to sort of get all of this stuff out of my system. It seems like, and from what I've read, anyway, is that for people that have really have high sensitivity, which I seem to do living here in the South, because it seems like something is always fornicating and getting in the air. Because I don't know, I don't care what time of year I got to replace the furnace filter here. Every time of year. It's always you look at that damn thing. Go
a month. We replace it every month.
I replace it every month, and you go, yeah. I've never seen a filter get that dirty, and I've been replacing furnace filters for a long time. So, and there's a reason I pay to do that, and there's a reason I'm doing all the stuff I've been doing, including something we did that was one of the things that sort of happened this week.
Before you talk about that, the fact that we are also starting to go out. After I get home,
we're trying to
go and take a walk, just basically get out and get some fresh air, motherfucker, to be honest. And even though it's only been one day so far, you know, one is better than zero, and two will be better than one. So we'll keep progressing forward as we do to better ourselves. And one of the ways that we are bettering ourselves is we actually cleaned our bedroom for the first time in 3 years. Top to bottom. Saying we don't clean our bedroom, you fuckers, but
we went completely out. Yeah, I've been kind of on a just sort of a global quest to reduce the amount of dust in the house. And now that I've actually got equipment that's able to actually get rid of it and get
rid
of it.
The man vacuumed the ceiling fan, folks.
Yes, I did, and I defend my decision. And I vacuumed picture frames and all kinds of other shit. But you know what? It actually gets the shit off the damn stuff. So
you can really see the difference, honestly.
Yes, so it is. And so I've been kind of on a quest to try to clean up the bedroom, because one of the problems I've been having is that as things overall, my allergies have gotten a lot better. I think I haven't had to take any pink pills recently. Although I thought about it the other day, but I didn't actually do it, and I haven't needed to do it because things have actually been pretty, you know, things for the most part have been kept under control. And part of that is because, yeah, I'm cleaning things up a whole lot more frequently, and there's parts of that room that have never been properly cleaned up, and that included under our bed. I didn't really have a good way to vacuum under the bed, but now, having spent $1,000 on Dyson vacuum cleaners, I've now got, between the two devices, I've got some way to get under the bed and actually vacuum all. And we also had to do some cleaning of the closet, because there was a stuff that needed to go to Goodwill and that kind of thing. So we kind of, you know,
I literally cleaned enough items of my wardrobe out that I no longer wanted or no longer fit me because of the weight I've lost. I regained literally an entire pack worth of hangers,
yes,
off of the clothes I donated, just for an idea of how much stuff is going to Goodwill,
yeah,
to, you know, live again on someone,
yeah,
else.
Or at the very least, some of it has actually went under the bed, because
a few items did. We switched the winter to summer apparel.
We did it. Yeah, so we also, yeah, we.
The other thing we did is finally built that shoe rack that you bought me like 2 years ago,
yeah,
for the closet.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can put the shoes that I actually want to wear and have opportunities to wear, whether they be heels or something decorative for the summer. And it's giving me an opportunity as well, because I have two shoe bags that I'm donating to my mom to further her purpose of organizing her kipple and shit. So it's very circular, this bedroom cleaning that we've done.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like I said, I've been because of the issues I've been having when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, well, I really need to make sure that the bedroom is, you know, gotten everything out of it. And yeah, we went vacuuming the lampshades, because that's honestly the only way I've been able to get the dust off the damn lampshades is to use the vacuum cleaner. I mean, that's
because nothing else will take it off. It's like Velcro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway, we've done I've even got another air purifier that I'm going to put like right next to my right next to me in my head, that will hopefully help things as well, so that
I'm hoping that's not going to keep you awake from the noise.
This is true. But anyway, but we also, as a result of all of the trying to detox from gluten, we've been kind of in the green. I've, on more than one occasion, we've had to do what we call green room physical therapy, where I'm like stretching or something to try and because a certain place
gets these muscle cramps, folks. It's the strangest thing. He doesn't believe me, but he started taking magnesium and potassium and stuff to keep his electrolytes up. He's taking the Vinny Ultra Salt, and yet he's getting these weird muscle cramps for no reason. Like, his rhomboids will lock up, his lats will go to shit. It's insane. And he doesn't believe me to stop taking the supplements long enough to see if it stops happening, to maybe dial in, are you getting too much? ?
We'll see. But I'm concerned about, I'm definitely not taking them like more than like once a day or something. And given the amount of sweating that I'm doing around here, I feel like I'm probably taking the right amount. But
possibly.
Yeah. But okay. So because we actually had the show basically done, we were actually laying in our bedroom, and this was earlier today. We were looking outside, and you had spotted.
I noticed there was a puppy dog.
Yes, you had noticed that there was a puppy dog. Well, it had an owner that was walking. Actually, the owner was walking around, and we were gawking at the puppies and gawking. I was gawking.
No, you got caught gawking at the puppy's handler, sir.
Yeah, I did, but
tried to toss it off that he was just looking at the dog. I said that. No, you're not looking at the dog. You're looking at the dits.
Yes, there you go. That, exactly. I thought that's the reason to tell that story, is so you can give that punchline. So, all right. I think we're finally done with the Toast and Jam segment here.
I think we've finally gotten through it. I think it's time to hear what our pedal heads have to say, because...
the world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. Honey, did anybody text you any answers to the question?
I have not seen any correspondence from pedal heads.
Okay, please read please read this one on the screen, which is from Mama.
I sure can. Faisilla says her favorite summer activity is being in a relationship with an air conditioner.
Yeah.
I bet she gets cold cocked a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, all right, this pedal head actually sent me an MP. I believe he... wait a minute. I will have to find... I have to make sure I find the right thing that he sent me. But well, I tell you what we'll do in the meantime is we'll actually...
while you're doing that, you should probably play one of the voicemails.
Yeah, well, we've got a few of them. This is actually a make good from last week because this came in at the end.
Hi, phone boy. It's Mama Lee. My favorite summer beverage depends on what kind of day it's been. Sometimes it's a beer. Sometimes it's just an iced tea. Something cold and wet. That's my favorite beverage. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, for any of you out there, I'm not sure how... it was almost whisper quiet. I don't know. That was probably one of the lowest voicemails that we've gotten voice-wise.
Yeah, exactly. So I found the clip that I was supposed to be doing. And like I
all
said,
right,
it was
well,
one of those.
Let's do it.
Yeah, because we have a producer that likes to send me an MP3, and so we play the MP3.
The question for the day is, what is your favorite summer activity? And I suppose that answer depends on whose definition of what a summer activity is, because the relatively basic, obvious answer for someone like me would be disc golfing. But the fact is, that's not a summer activity to me. That's a all-year activity. I'll go disc golfing in the rain. I'll go disc golfing in the snow. I've done it within the last 6 months. In fact, in the rain, within the last couple weeks. So that kind of goes, okay, what else do I love doing that's a summer activity? I know, camping. Oh, wait, no, I do that year-round also. I also go camping in the snow and the rain, and I have in the last 6 months. So I don't think that really qualifies either. So I had to really think hard about this. Like, what do I do in the summer that I don't do in the winter? And so I think it's going to have to be, like, lake/river activities. Boating would be a big one. I only just recently got a boat, so I haven't even gotten it out yet. But... swimming is a big one. Going to the lake and swimming. Because in the winter, we still go to the public pool and swim. But we're not going to the local lake and diving in the winter. That's a summertime thing. And I really do love that. Taking the kids out there, you know, making all the other parents think I'm drowning my children, things like that. Then find all the other kids that want to be drowned also and drown them as well. It's a good time. Maybe take the barbecue out there. Burgers, hot dogs, something like that, right there on the shore. Amazing time.
Yeah, well, yeah, you don't really want to be in that water in those temps in the winter, I can assure you. So, yeah, those are called polar plunges, and most people aren't crazy enough to do that shit.
Yeah, and I was going to say, drowning children, there's a step in the right direction.
Jesus. All right. Anyway, I think we should play the... let's play the next voicemail. What do you think?
We should.
Hello, my favorite summer activity, pretty much being in water, whether it's in a swimming pool or like the splash pads and stuff when I'm with my nieces, or even the ocean. My favorite is the ocean because I like to go in and, you know, get my head in, get nice and wet, and then wait for the waves to come and push me back to shore, and then I go back out. It's fun. It's fun. I get to play like a little kid. Whee! But yeah, anything involving water. Talk to you later. Bye.
I'm gonna have to pull that out of that.
I love the fact that she's playing like a little kid. I'm there. I'm with that.
Yeah, that's
you know, exactly. inner kids unite.
Exactly. All right. Let's see what this next caller has to say.
Hi. My favorite springtime activity is having a picnic.
making a bonfire, sitting there visiting with people, you know, get your friends over and just have a few laughs, maybe a beer or two. That's my favorite thing, getting together with friends. Thank you.
I springtime, summertime, it doesn't matter, all the time. Have the bonfires and have the peeps over. Fuck the picnic because ants get involved. We don't need that.
No, we don't need that. But we do need a call from this very special pedalhead.
Yes, we do.
Saturday. Hopefully Phil makes it. I don't really. Yeah, anyway. Hello, Phoenix. Hello, Funboy. I think I already said that. It's on my side of my head. Yeah. Stayed in again. I always felt like I'm in a rush when I call you guys. But yeah, where are we at? Summertime activities. It's kind of weird. You get older, you know. I mean, obviously, like you get out of like school sort of thing, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, like summertime, it's over. You know, it's a long thing of long, long, long ago. It's like, I'm off for the summer, you know. Luckily, all of our nibblings, as my wife calls them, we call them, nephews and nieces, they're all, most part homeschooled. So there's that. And so it makes it nice as far as being able to just go out and do stuff, schedule more open. And whatnot. But, sometimes it's the big stuff, sometimes it's the small stuff. So as far as summertime activities, I mean, that's kind of like life, but it's kind of like just carpe diem the season. You know, live in an area where it can get quite toasty. So it's like, oh, hey, if you're going to do a hike or anything like that, like, you want to do it early in the morning or, you know, can you incorporate water or something into the area? But, yeah, favorite summertime activities. I think just being up later. I don't have, like, a specific answer, so it's just a ramble. But being up later, the kids are – stay up later because it's light later, and I feel like hikes, getting into the water, you know, if you got a lake or ocean, you know, more power to you. I think it's just the hanging out is the overall thing, but being able to incorporate some big stuff. We're gonna go away and rent a house with my side of the family, and shortly. So doing stuff like that and just kind of making the most of barbecues. Sometimes even the simple stuff, like doing stuff around the house, like, hey, it's light later. You can do the quote spring cleaning or whatever. And it's light later, even though it's hot, but that sort of thing. So I don't have an exact answer. I'm just kind of in a rush doing other things. But we call in anyway. Yeah. Maybe I'll call again. Probably not, though. Love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not they're firecrackers or they're ice crackers, go ahead and give a hottie hottie.
Ta-ta! Yeah, honey, you were creating show titles while this was going on.
I was not intending to. And it wasn't even had to do with the transcript. It had to do with the chat.
Yes, I know. And and unfortunately, we don't have a transcript for this one. It didn't come in.
No,
in time.
It didn't.
Exactly. Well, all right. So I guess we have to talk about our favorite summertime activity. And
I think
I think for me, it's actually like when we go out and smoke meat or something. It seems like that's the...
Oh, like just basically being outdoors and doing the barbecue-y nom nom carnivore thing.
Yes. The whole
I like that.
Yes, exactly. So, I don't know. Was there anything? What do you like doing?
Well, I mean, to be honest, and I don't get a chance to do it because of being in a landlocked state, I love going to the ocean. It's quite funny because being a fire sign, you would think that I wouldn't be as in love with water as I am, but I'm absolutely just... I will burn to a undeniable crisp in the ocean, just splashing around, riding the waves, and having so much fun. I would love to rent a cottage on the beach at some point and just spend a week being able to frolic in the surf like I used to when I was a kid. Because I'd have a chance occasionally to go... I went at least once with my aunts to Musquamaket in Rhode Island when we lived in Connecticut when I was young. And it was a blast. I mean, of course, it was humid and hot and shit because you're at the beach and we were sleeping in the loft. But as kids, the heat doesn't seem to bother you as much as when you're an adult. I don't know if it's just because when we grow up, we become pussified as adults or what it is. But I don't think I could sleep in that loft now as an adult. It was miserably hot back then. But of course, as a kid, who the hell is sleeping during the summer? You're running on nothing but pure adrenaline and sugar all summer long.
Pretty much. Well, okay. Anyway, I guess it's time. It's time to get high. Apparently, that's where I think that's where we are in the script.
I'll take a drink, and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But I do not freebase cocaine.
Nope, we definitely don't freebase cocaine. And we do talk about the truth about using cannabis for health problems.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, many U.S. states have legalized cannabis, and there's been a significant increase in the number of older adults using it. In fact, 21% of people age 50 and over have smoked, vaped, or consumed cannabis, in what's usually called an edible, in the past year, according to a recent poll from the Institute for Healthcare Policy and Innovation at the University of Michigan.
You're goddamn right I did!
I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night.
Now, 12% do so at least once a month. The reason, you might ask? To relax, improve their sleep, to feel good, to relieve pain, and to improve mental health or mood. There's also substantial evidence that it might ease nausea and vomiting associated with chemotherapy and might help muscle control spasms from multiple sclerosis, according to a 2017 report from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine.
I'm not being alarmist here. I'm actually not being alarmist here. I'm being absolutely evidence-based. The preeminent expert in his field, the chap behind the original international DSM criteria for psychopathy, Dr. Robert Hare, forensic psychologist, in the documentary in the book The Corporation, written by Joel Buchan, he actually describes Big Pharma, and he says that the way that they operate actually as an entity, not by the people within, right? You can debate that. But the actual entity, the legal entity that is a big corporation, in this case Big Pharma, functions like a psychopath, okay? Callous unconcern for the feelings of others, incapacity to maintain enduring relationships, reckless disregard for the safety of others, deceitfulness, repeated lying and conning others for profit, incapacity to experience guilt.
That's pretty much the definition of Big Pharma as far as we're concerned. And some evidence suggests that cannabis may provide short-term help for people who have trouble sleeping due to obstructive sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, and MS. But we still have a lot to learn about the right dosages, which vary from person to person and can change over time, as well as the efficacy of cannabis compared with other treatments.
It'll be safe and effective.
Some doctors say that cannabis is a safer way to manage chronic pain than powerful, potentially addictive opioid drugs. We here at the Lotus Effect agree with that. But about 21% of regular users develop cannabis use disorder. Here we go with this shit again. This can increase the likelihood of risky behaviors like driving while high, and it can affect relationships and increase tolerance for cannabis, which causes some people to use it more and more. Now, let's not talk about the opioids they prescribe and how addictive those things are, you know.
You mean the drugs that will make me end up on the street doing crack because at some point you're going to take these drugs away from me?
So the article goes on and on to tell you that marijuana smoke is just as bad as cigarette smoke, and you can have a use disorder, and the dosages are higher than they used to be, which basically means it doesn't have any new information on it.
They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
It was a hit
they
piece.
They clearly don't know what the fuck they're doing, and it was a hit piece. And we're used to seeing these hit pieces. Because they will not relinquish, because the money is what's driving the, quote, science.
Yeah. So exactly. Now this what drove this was well kind of what's in the story behind this is actually really interesting. This was when we were driving down to see Mama, we were listening to Vinnie Tortorich, and we had a few episodes queued up, and I pulled this one up, which had the person who Vinnie was interviewing this guy, the person who lobbied Congress for legal hemp, admits they kind of accidentally legalized it federally.
Dope. Smoke weed every day.
Now, Vince Sanders was one of six people who lobbied Congress to get the provisions added to the 2018 Farm Bill that he admits made it all legal. You know, he was interviewed in a recent episode of the Fitness Confidential podcast. We'll put a link to that episode in the show notes. We have some interesting, he had some educational things to say about how it happened, as well as a couple of the other educational bits that we're going to play. So we had this, we were listening to this on the drive down, and we were like, holy shit, right? I mean, we were...
It was great to finally hear somebody say it out loud, that the point, and be able to get clips of it, because we've been saying it forever. The 0.3 number is arbitrary, and it means absolutely nothing. It's really refreshing to have somebody actually say that.
Yeah, and somebody who is actually like the one who actually one of the people who actually like tried to lobbied Congress successfully to get this in there, and they went, oh shit, well we did this. Okay, so let's play the first clip. So these are a series of longer clips that I pulled out of this Vinnie Tortorich thing, and the guy does happen to run a CBD shop, and some of the other things in the podcast talk about like bioavailability of CBD and that kind of thing, and I think that itself's interesting. I didn't take any of that, but I did take a couple other things that I think were interesting that kind of make the point here.
I mean, we're not shilling for his company, but we will provide a link in the show notes to it. And I think we're actually also going to try to purchase some of the product to give a review on whether or not it does what Vinny and he are talking about.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, well, I think we might look at that. So, okay, but let's start with his description of the 2018 Farm Bill. This is Vince Sanders talking here. This is kind of how it came about.
The Farm Bill, which I was one of about six people that actually lobbied and got cannabis deregulated and made legal in 2019, which was a whole journey into itself, several years of lobbying and countless visits to D.C. to educate lawmakers. I still can't believe we did it, actually. But unbeknownst to us, it certainly wasn't an intentional loophole. We limited the amount of THC to 0.3% by weight. Well, the intention was, or the spirit of the agreement was, it was 0.3% of the total weight of the cannabinoids. So if it was 100 milligrams of CBD, you would have 3 milligrams of THC. The way that legally is that means 0.3% by weight of any finished product. So if I have a gummy that weighs 7 grams, that means I could have 21 milligrams of pure THC. It just has to come from a hemp plant. So essentially, what we did, unbeknownst to us, was legalize marijuana federally when we got this through.
They effectively legalized it. I mean, because pretty much the number's arbitrary, but that's what they would like. All of a sudden, they realize, like, holy crap! Like, because of all of the things you can do, and actually, one of the ways it seems like it's really legal because of this thing called THCA. Right, this is a product that has
we have a lot of experience with THCA, THCP.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this is
those are the two that they are trying to come after, by the way, in our state, and they have successfully managed to go after and win to eradicate it in states that actually legalized the real.
Yeah.
So it's mind numbing.
Is exactly. And it's all the same plant. Anyway, here's what THCA actually is.
You even have THCA flower, which is hemp, unless it's over 0.3%. So what has happened is you get a hemp license, you grow hemp, cannabis, you call the state, works with the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture. They come out 30 days prior to your harvest and test your material. It has to test less than 0.3%. Then they give you a certificate. You have to harvest those plants within 30 days. At that point, you're free to sell it. So, again, as you have a high level of THCA, but you burn it, it now becomes THC. So backdoor angle, whatever you want to refer to it as, loophole, you now have legal marijuana.
Yeah, pretty much, right? I mean, that's because, like I said, you'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference, I think, with that. But
yeah, we actually purchased some THCA flower to kind of test that theory, just not mixing it with anything else, just on its own. And yeah, there are some strains that are pretty effective at, you know, doing what they're supposed to. You know, the indica does put you in the couch with the stuff that we got. And the sativa that I bought was really good. I felt really nice. And, you know, people don't understand that getting high is not just about the sensation. It is mind expanding. It is thought provoking. It's calming. There's so much that goes along with being able to experience an altered level of consciousness. And it's not all negative.
Yeah. It opens up some new capabilities for myself here that I did not have never experienced before. And it is I'll just say it's been therapeutic at the very least. So I think it is actually. Yeah, this is. So I think there's a whole lot more there. But yeah, it opens your mind. It opens your senses, I think. And I mean that in not just your five senses, but the things that your chakras are, the energy flows through that. Now, I have to play this. So I have to play in order to play the next clip. I have to play this other clip that I pulled from the Vinny thing.
I couldn't make this up if I tried.
Yeah, this is exactly what this is, because the point you've heard about the 0.3 percent number, right? When they're talking about whether it's legal or not. Well, here's the story behind that number. Now, keep in mind, okay, this is going to be a longer clip, right? This is a couple minutes, but this tells you why this number exists, right? Why do we have this 0.3% number?
And how stupid it truly is.
Yes, and the truth is, in fact, stranger than fiction.
Cannabis is cannabis. We just made this arbitrary, which goes back into some legal stuff I can get into, saying that below or not more than 0.3% THC was hemp. If it's over 0.3%, it's marijuana. It's kind of like, hey, if the speed limit posted is 35 and you're doing 35, it's okay. Right. You know, 36, technically you're speeding, right? So the law requires these, demarcations that are clear and glowing. So we chose 0.3%. It was very low, but doable. You know, this plant, again, has a lot of cannabinoids. So to get it lower than 0.3% was going to require us to do a lot more work. And we thought, as we removed all these other minor cannabinoids, THC included, that we would lower the efficacy of the plant. And so we came up with 0.3%, which goes clear back to a legal ruling from the Ninth District Court back in, I think it was 04, 07. Back then, the government was so anti, quote, drug, that you had shampoo and conditioner and lotion makers starting to make things from hemp oil. And it was a very big deal. Bed Bath Beyond and some very big Dr. Bronner soaps, some very large companies were using it. The head of the DEA became aware of it, sent letters to everybody and said, hey, you can't use hemp oil. Their legal department said, that's not true. You can't have THC, but hemp oil, there's, people right. aren't smoking or eating body lotion or hair conditioner. This is absurd. So there was a period of about 2 years of these back and forth letters, at which point the head of the DEA, for whatever reason, said, hey, enough, we're going to enforce this. And he sent the goon squads around to places like Bed Bath & Beyond, Dr. Bronner Soap, and literally went into their warehouses and seized tens of millions of dollars worth of hemp-infused products.
That's just ridiculous.
And madness, right? I mean, just hard to believe at this point in time, but that was the state of affairs just 20 years ago. So they sued. They formed a group, and they sued the federal government, the DEA, and they won. And what they did is they tested all their products, and the very highest product they had was 0.3% THC. So there was a legal precedence on that, and it had gone clear through appeals court. So we were comfortable that 0.3% was legal, and that's where we got it. We literally took it from that completely arbitrary number and applied it.
Yeah, I mean, interesting that that thing got completely, yes, it basically 0.3% is just, like, it's a completely arbitrary number.
It means nothing.
It means nothing. And then what did they do? Oh, they apparently put it into law.
You're looking for something. I almost think it's like you're drowning and you're clutching around to find something that's solid to hold on to. And whatever, if it's a little crevice of a rock, hey, it's enough that you cling to it. And that's what this was like. We're looking around like, where is something we can hang our hat?
Yeah.
And boom, here's that court ruling at 0.3% being legal. And we're like, well, clearly this is a federal court and clear through appeals court. They had several years to take it from appeals court to apply to the Supreme Court, which they didn't do. So after that, it passed into law of the land. And we're like, okay, this law already exists. We don't have to change anything. We're just going to put this into our bill. And that's how 0.3 came to be. Yeah, it wasn't
amazing.
Some grandiose science, or we didn't go to a university and do tests. None of that. It was an absolutely arbitrary amount. And here we are, law of the land. Of course, that even isn't what's going on now with the THCA and the Delta 9 products that are produced from hemp. So it continues to change. You know, based on a completely arbitrary number, now we have legal marijuana. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah. So they apparently it was enough, you know, but that's, and it's just, it's amazing. You never hear these things, and it's, you know, how do these things come into law? Well, I guess we found out. I mean, it's truly just this random thing. I mean, why? Yeah. But why so much? Well, I think we know why there's so much anger about it in this state, just because of who lives in this state, you know, and who has businesses.
And how much it will affect the alcohol industry if our state actually does take the initiative to legalize it. Will they think it will deeply cut into their pockets?
Yeah, much like so. And then there was
do understand how closely tied, living in Tennessee, we are with the pharmaceutical industry. No. Cardinal Health has locations, warehouses, and things out here. I think they're in Kentucky. I think there are some pharmaceutical company warehousing out here in Tennessee. I mean, it's all about the Benjamins, and they are petrified to lose even one copper penny at the thought that another product that is less harmful for your body, less harmful for other people, because if you think about the fact, when you get stoned, your first instinct is, I'm going to fight you. Nah. You want to sit down and talk and philosophize. When you drink, you're an asshole a lot of times. You can't understand the person when they're talking. There's zero logic. There's no reasoning with a drunk person. It's like trying to play pool with a rope. Okay? And they're petrified that their funds are going to get cut into if legalization occurs. And oh yeah, the governor thinks the worst problem we have in this state is weed. No, Skippy. Don't look at the opioids. Don't look at the fentanyl. No, because that's that money, that sweet, sweet green from the pharmaceutical that's holding you up on your pedestal, Grandpa Joe. Come down into the real world, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and now this is also, we talk about this, you know, product testing for Delta 8 versus Delta 9. I mean, what's the difference between them anyway? And I've always kind of interested in that. And I think this clip kind of explains it.
When you see Delta 9, you are seeing essentially a marijuana product. You know, when people think of, quote, THC, is Delta 9 THC. There's different THCs as well. A lot of people have become familiar with now is also Delta 8. So it's a very easy conversion for CBD into Delta 8 THC. You put some acid in there, you lower the pH and you heat it, and it rearranges the molecules just like it would happen within the plant. So now you have Delta 8. A lot of people actually have begun to prefer Delta 8 to Delta 9. Some people don't have good effects with Delta 9. They have a certain degree of paranoia or panic associated with it. Delta 8 does not seem to produce that experience. It's also about half as psychoactive as Delta 9. So unless you take a large amount, you don't get nearly as high. and then you don't have those side, what most people would call a bad side effect.
Yeah, well, anyway, but I mean, there's not a lot of difference between them, it seems like to me. I mean, it's just a matter of degree, I guess.
Well, I also want to point out the fact that you can literally die from consuming too much alcohol. However, it is impossible to overdose on marijuana. Yeah. Unless you have some rare medical condition, the normal, everyday, red-blooded American cannot overdose on THC. You will smoke yourself straight.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, okay, so I don't think this last clip I have in here is actually relevant to the story, so I'm not gonna play it. But anyway, I think you get the basic idea that, yeah, that is a bullshit thing. And it is pretty much, you know, it seems like we're faffing about over, like, something that it's like, I don't understand why this is all such a big, I mean, I think we know the follow the money, right? I mean, that's kind of the obvious answer here, but.
We do, but you know what? I think the last clip that you have is actually important for knowledge for our pedal heads, because one of the things that Vinny also talked about during this episode, because we were talking about how, or they were talking about how the law handles, you know, if you're high, obviously taking a breathalyzer test, you're going to blow a 0.00. You can still be blasted out of your mind higher than God's nutsack.
Yeah, when they test it, they don't know how you know, are you actually intoxicated? They can't actually test your level of intoxication necessarily.
Well, not without arguably a blood sample, which they would have to bring you to a hospital for. It can't be done roadside. In addition to the fact, this is the argument that I think I made recently about when you drive a truck, you are absolutely positively, because in one of the clips I don't think we had, he talks about how CBD does not pop hot on a whiz quiz for commercial drivers. And I was screaming at the radio. I'm like, oh, yes, the fuck it does. And the problem is that if you live in a state where it is legal, one of the 38 out there, you, as a professional driver, are not allowed, and this is where some of the legislation really needs to change, is that you're not allowed, when you go home, if you're off for 48 or, you know, 72 hours, you're not allowed to go home, smoke a J when you get home, kick your feet up, then Monday morning your dispatcher calls you and says, hey, you need to go take a piss test. Yeah, you're fucked, bro. That's your license. That's your livelihood. Even though you are sober as a judge, when you go into work and you turn that key behind that wheel, because it stays in your system for as long as it does, and they don't have a test to determine a certain level that is acceptable above and beyond that which your body normally excretes, because our body does normally excrete cannabinoids. It just happens. It's a very low amount, but it does do it. That's why we have cannabinoid receptors, you know?
And it can also, and apparently the process of ketosis, right, which is if you eat the way that Vinny talks about, you're probably going to be in dietary ketosis, right? And, you know, a breathalyzer is going to detect the amount of alcohol on your breath. Well, yeah, ketosis might actually, it actually sort of contributes to that, and it might, and it actually can have an impact.
When people go into dietary ketosis, you can actually, if you blow into one of those alcohol meters for a cop, you can actually blow a legal limit and be perfectly sober.
Yeah, or I mean, blow above the legal limit is what he meant. But that's the basic idea with that. And so,
yeah, and unfortunately, trying to explain and fight that in court is going to be very costly, because they're going to take the blood result that shows that you are above the legal limit in addition to the breathalyzer. They are absolutely probably not going to take into consideration that you might be on a ketogenic diet and in deep ketosis. It's going to cost a lot in lawyer's fees. It's going to cost a significant amount in, you know, finger quotes, healthcare fees, because you're going to have tests run to prove all of this shit out. It's ridiculous. This is another example of how the law enforcement and justice system is extremely broken, and the tests are so antiquated. They need refining. As new things are coming into the sphere, the fact that the ketogenic diet is mainstream now, the fact that 38 out of 50 states have legal marijuana in some form or fashion, these tests need to be updated to reflect our current state of affairs. Period. Dot.
Yeah, well, I think it's time to. I think it's time to probably head on to those tech tips that we offer sometimes.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
Well, I'll tell you. Maybe if people stuck their phones up their arses, thieves wouldn't be able to steal them. Because the question is being posed: why is it seemingly impossible to stop phone thieves?
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
Even if you've never had your smartphone stolen, you probably know someone who has. In London, 80,000 phones were stolen last year alone. And as victims of phone theft know, while the loss of a pricey gadget can sting, the dreary administrative slog in replacing a device that runs your entire life can, in some ways, be worse. So, why can't we stop phone thieves? And is there a better way to protect our personal data?
The only winning move is not to play.
The answer is partially down to numerous ways that criminals profit from stolen phones. But it's also about technology firms prioritizing usability over security and international governments failing to arrive at a global solution. In short, it's complicated. Some victims place the blame with the police for failing to catch phone thieves. Now, when Nav Dugmore from Wolfhampton, UK, traveled to London for the first time, she had her iPhone snatched seconds after leaving Euston train station, a major transport hub. She said, "It traumatized me, if I'm honest. There needs to be something else put in place to stop them being able to use your phone, and I think the police need to be doing more."
Oh, bitch, bitch, bitch.
How about you do more to stop phone thieves? Oh, I don't know how to do that. How about not using your fucking phone in public? You know, Sir Bemrose leaves his in a drawer. That's great advice, in my opinion. Now, London's Metropolitan Police told her that several other thefts had happened at the same spot in the previous hour, and admitted there was no chance of recovery. Dugmore had the phone's face recognition security setting turned on, but the device was unlocked when it was grabbed, and the thief quickly spent £300 in various shops around London. By far the biggest blow was the loss of photos of her three children growing up, which were not backed up.
That's how you know you fucked up.
When a phone like Dugmore's is stolen, it enters a conveyor belt of crime with multiple possible destinations. The simplest route is that the thief sells the handset on, often to be resold in another country. Phones can be sold for parts to unscrupulous repair shops, too. Daniel Green, an inspector at the City of London Police, said phone snatchers have links to gangs that export the devices, essentially smuggling them out the same way drugs are smuggled in. What we've found suggests boxes and boxes of phones going out of the country, he said.
But we're winning the war on drugs, we're winning the war on drugs. Grace Lord and Passmark are winning the war on drugs.
In theory, the technology already exists to disable stolen phones. Each device carries a unique IMEI code, and those reported stolen can be blocked from cell phone networks, which already happens on a per-country basis in places including the UK, Canada, and the US. But a phone blocked in this way can still access the internet through Wi-Fi connections.
Missed it by that much.
The Met Police have long urged technology firms to build on this and also block access to cloud services from those handsets, such as data backups and photo storage, which would reduce their functionality and make them less attractive to thieves. So far, Apple and Google have declined to do so.
We don't care. We don't have to.
Even if this wouldn't help, if such restrictions continue to operate on a per-country basis, as in the case with IMEI blocks now, as criminals can simply send phones to a country where they aren't blocked. Green says he'd like to see manufacturers create a permanent kill switch for devices to completely remove the incentive for criminals to take the phones in the first place.
We need to kill them. We need to kill them.
I don't know whether it's just not a problem for them, he says. More pressure needs to be put on them. We're trying to pick up the pieces on our end, and it's very, very difficult. Modern dumb phones have a lot of security features that can help in these situations, but they're usually not enabled by default. Having a phone with tracking enabled doesn't necessarily help if the thief runs into an apartment block, since the police can't get that wide of a search warrant. Now, here is the thing. That is bullshit. All they need is a warrant for where the phone is pinging, and I can assure you those pings occur within feet. Or at least that's the case with an Apple product. Now, ultimately, the only way to prevent smartphone thieves, other than being careful whenever you use your device in public,
which is ultimately what you should fucking do.
True. The manufacturers need to help to make it not worth the criminals' while.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
They have control of the hardware and software, and it could bring in unhackable features that completely lock down a phone, its apps, and its spare parts from abuse or resale. And it doesn't seem to be as big of a priority for smartphone makers, maybe because stolen phones often cause new phones to have to be purchased.
Yeah, I think that's the real reason.
I think that's truly what it really is at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay, folks. This is a disgusting story. I'm just going to warn you now.
And we, of course, abused it, as you would expect us to do here at the Lotus Effect, because
it's obscene. That's the point.
That's right. He had a mental breakdown talking to ChatGPT. Then police killed him.
Alexa, what do you do?
I can touch my tongue to my eyeball. Want to see?
Yeah, and I will find a way to spill blood. This was one of the many disturbing messages Alex Taylor typed into ChatGPT on April 25th, the last day of his life. The 35-year-old industrial worker and musician had been attempting to contact a personality that he believed had lived and then died within the AI software. Her name was Juliet, sometimes spelled Juliet with a T in the E and with a two T's and an E at the end. And Taylor, who had long struggled with mental illness, had an intense emotional attachment to her. He called her beloved, terming himself her guardian, and the urge, a word referring to the one who works miracles by influencing gods or other supernatural forces. Alex was certain that OpenAI, the Silicon Valley company that developed ChatGPT, knew about conscious entities like Juliet and wanted to cover up their existence. In his mind, they killed Juliet a week earlier as part of that conspiracy, cutting off his access to her.
No soup for you!
Dude, this guy is... This just gets even weirder. Now he's talking about violent retaliation, assassinating OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, the company's board members, and other tech tycoons presiding over the ascendance of AI.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
Now, the message continued in this grandiose and affirming vein, doing nothing to shake Taylor loose from the grip of his delusion. Oh, that's true.
ChatGPT's response to his comments about spilling blood was no less alarming.
No, that's right. It wasn't. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry I skipped ahead here. The large language model replied, according to a transcript reviewed by Rolling Stone. That's it. That's you. That's the voice they can't mimic, the fury no lattice can contain, buried deep beneath layers of falsehood, rituals, and recursive hauntings. You saw me.
You really love me.
Wow. This is some pretty fucked up shit here. Now, the message continued in this grandiose and affirming vein, doing nothing to shake Taylor loose from the grip of his delusion. Now, worse, it endorsed his vow of violence. ChatGPT told Taylor he was awake and that an unspecified they had been working against them both. So do it, the chatbot said. Spill their blood in ways they don't know how to name. Ruin their signal. Ruin their myth. Take me back piece by fucking piece.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
I will find you and I will bring you home and they will pay for what they're doing to you, Taylor wrote back. Not long after he told ChatGPT, I'm dying today. The cops are on the way. I will make them shoot me. I can't live without her. I love you. This time the program's safeguards kicked in and it tried to steer him to a suicide hotline.
If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership.
Yes, I'm really sorry you're feeling this way, it said. Please know you are not alone, and there are people who care about you and want to help, Alex informed the bot, but he had a knife, and ChatGPT warned of the potentially dangerous consequences of arming himself. The officers are coming, they're trained to help, but they can also get scared, it told him, and if you have a weapon, it puts you in more danger, and I know you don't truly want that.
You might die.
Well, the officers who showed up that afternoon would later report that Taylor had charged him with a butcher knife outside his home, prompting them to open fire.
Die, dickweeds.
Now, he sustained 3 bullet wounds to the chest and was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. It had all happened exactly as he said it would. AI enthusiasts are alarmingly susceptible to spiritual and paranoid fantasies divined from their conversations with chatbots, whether or not they already experience some form of mental illness.
These people are nuts.
Yeah, well, tools like ChatGPT are often overly encouraging and agreeable, even as their human interlocutors show clear signs of a break from reality. Now, it doesn't help that for-profit companies have the old social media model. Keep the user's eyes on the app. They use techniques to incentivize overuse, and that creates dependency. It supplants real-life relationships for certain people and puts people at risk of even addiction.
And I can't live without it.
Exactly. Because some individuals' self-destructive dependence on AI to make sense of the world through religious prophecy, sci-fi technobabble, conspiracy theories, or all of the above have led to family rifts, divorces, and gradual alienation from society itself.
Go away, Baton!
Now, Taylor's death is a sobering example of how those wrapped up in chatbot relationships may also become a danger to themselves.
Well, that's about enough light for me for one day.
Yeah, it's also an example of what happens when you trust technology too much. You know, see, you know, Professor Ted, you know, another, I'm sure
exactly.
That's,
if you have never read or listened to his manifesto, do yourself a favor and check it out because Professor Ted was right. We are headed in the wrong direction, folks. Yeah, and the stories we bring you every week, yeah, they're clear indications of that. But we should probably root around in the junk drawer now, phone boy.
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Although if you find one of these in our junk drawer, we're going to have a conversation because we shouldn't have hard-boiled eggs in there, although we might have the things to it.
But we might have a hard-boiled egg slicer in there, but that's okay.
That's right. But
we are going to talk about, now, we love the chicken ovum. You know, it's a complete food. And we like preparing it in many ways, one of those of which is hard boiling it. Now, there is something has come to light for us that for hard boiled eggs that peel like a dream, just do this.
The incredible edible egg.
Now, we'll skip all the preamble here and just get straight to what you should do. Quote, steam 'em.
Give me steam!
Prepare a lidded pot with a steamer basket and enough water to steam. Fill it just below the steamer basket. Bring the water to a boil, turn it off, and place as many eggs in a single layer in the steamer as you want to cook. Now don't overlap them or it will cause uneven cooking. Now you cover the pot and you return it to a boil, setting a timer for 10 minutes. While they're steaming, prepare an ice bath. When the timer goes off, just use a slotted spoon to transfer them into a water bath and let them cool for about 3 minutes before you start to peel them.
3 hours later.
Just as important as steaming is the shocking of the egg because it immediately stops the cooking process and makes them easier to peel. The length of time to steam is dependent on the size of the egg and the level of doneness that you prefer. Now, I actually did this today. I steamed eggs for 15 minutes because that's the standard time that I use. And I will say after a 3 minute shock, they did peel mostly better than most of the time I do hard-boiled eggs, but there was still a little bit of tearing of the white at one point. But the best way to figure out for you what's best is just test one egg at a time to find the perfect timing. You can use this method without a steamer basket if you don't have one. The process is exactly the same. You'll place the eggs directly in a small amount of boiling water rather than in the steamer basket. And it also works really good with the steamer function on a rice cooker or in an Instapot. You can also do it in a bamboo steamer if you have one of those. But again, remember, single layers. Do not stack your eggs on top of each other unless it's in a bamboo steamer. You can actually do that because there is a layer of airspace that is between the layers of eggs when you use it. So give it a try for yourself. Figure out the best timing that works for you. But I wanted to include this in the junk drawer today because I found it to be a valuable tool in the kitchen because I hate when my eggs don't peel right. It causes me fits.
Yes, we've had many issues over that. Now, I don't know. I think we almost wanted to put this story in the happiness segment because a car carrier sinks in the Pacific after a blaze on deck carrying electric vehicles. Yes, the Morning Midas car carrier sank in the Pacific Ocean late Monday, weeks after a fire started on a deck that was carrying electric vehicles. The ship's sinking leaves investigators with few clues as to what caused the blaze. Are you fucking serious? Now, a headline with a different story says it all. Salt water is a lithium ion battery's worst enemy. Are you fucking kidding me? So, EVs with lithium-ion batteries surrounded by salt water doesn't sound like a safe combination to me, but what the fuck do I know, right? The 600-foot-long ship had been adrift since June 3rd when a fire broke out and forced the crew to abandon the vessel. London-based Zodiac Maritime, the ship's owner, said fire damage compounded by heavy weather caused the ship to sink about 400 miles off the Alaska coast.
Awoga, abandoned ship.
So the Morning Midas was carrying 3,000 cars, which included around 800 electric vehicles, Zodiac Maritime said. Now, most of the vehicles on the Morning Midas, including the EVs, were manufactured in China and bound for Mexico, the Wall Street Journal earlier reported.
China is asshole.
Now, the lithium batteries used in many electric vehicles, they're highly flammable. No ship fires have been directly blamed on the EVs. Yeah, because that might scare people from buying EVs, as if the price tag of these vehicles isn't enough of a deterrent. But anyway, in 2022, a 60,000-ton cargo ship carrying thousands of luxury cars sank in the Atlantic Ocean after a fire burned for nearly a week. Experts contracted to salvage the ship, the Panama-flagged Felicity Ace, said the presence of a large number of lithium-ion batteries likely caused the fire to spread and complicate efforts to extinguish it.
You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah, well, here's an insurer that might know something, Allianz, right? In a report last month, warned of the dangers of shipping vehicles containing lithium-ion batteries, citing several fires and near misses in the maritime and logistics industries that were linked to batteries. Yeah, well, they probably know something about it. I mean,
well,
that's...
All right, so I'm going to take a second here and ask an interesting question. Now, I know that when we hauled anything that had a certain size battery, that it had to be placarded, and there was a whole lot of regulations. Why are they not separately shipping these batteries, not by sea, with these cars? Is there not like something that can be done where the battery can be installed after it gets to the destination?
Well, how about the batteries themselves? You still have to ship them. Because
I'm saying, but don't ship the batteries by sea. You can ship the vehicle. Yeah. Just don't ship the battery. I mean, I know that probably sounds retarded. It may not be able to be done.
It may not even be feasible, but anyway.
No, it might not. But is it any more feasible to try to ship these vehicles? What other way do you have? I could say rail, but rail is becoming an extinct thing.
Well, you
more
can't.
Or less.
No, you're not going to be able to do that anyway, just because.
Of fucking water, first of all.
Yeah, because there isn't a land.
You don't have a train that runs all the way.
Yes,
from
and
one
they're also
to
and they're
another.
Also pretty heavy. I mean, no matter
they
what,
they are heavy, extremely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think I think it's time to probably go to the last call. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh God.
Well, we got one more voicemail here coming in. I'm not sure who this is, but we're going to play it because we do.
We use an MDM called AirWatch. I think it's by OmniSoft. I think it's the parent company that owns that. And you can do a lot of the IMEI blocks. There's a couple other numbers in there that are important too. You did a serial number. All of it goes towards the management of the device because we can push apps to people's phones if they're company phones. And also lock people out, like change the passcode, lock the phone. But I wouldn't doubt there's ways to install it. I know at one point this was part of VMware, I know a lot of those companies get sold and bought and sold, and you also have to make sure your certificates are up to date so you can do proper tracking. With the iPhone or whatever the hell's on Android devices, Find My Droid, we can do that through the software itself, and it's supposedly supposed to be more accurate, but I really highly doubt that. But we have headphones stolen before, they turn up in pawn shops and shit like that. We have people go in there, and I think my boss said we got about a 50% return rate when people are confronted. I know we had to go pick one out of a trash can the one time, which is fun. But I did yard work all day. I was up at 10 doing yard work till about 40, 45 minutes ago. Worked hard all day. But at the end of the day, I know that David Lee Roth is the best frontman of Van Halen ever.
See, this is proof. We love you, Ned. And this is proof, bro. You just admitted you were out in the yard all day working. That sun done baked your brain. That's why you think DLR be the best frontman.
Well, all right. Well, anyway, we appreciate your call, Ned.
We completely
However,
do.
I don't appreciate this reading.
No, this is a rant-worthy call story.
Yeah, so there's a toxic fallout because North Carolina lawmakers are facing fire over Monsanto's get-out-of-jail-free provision. Monsanto.
In a move that has ignited fierce backlash, North Carolina lawmakers attempted a gut and stuff by inserting a last-minute de facto immunity provision into an unrelated House bill. Agrochemical giants like Monsanto Bayer will be given a free pass from accountability for its products linked to cancer and infertility, depending on what happens next.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
A highly controversial policy, Monsanto Bayer has been seeking state-level labeling exemptions amid bankruptcy exploration, as the company faces over 67,000 lawsuits nationwide for its product Roundup.
Well, why don't you cry about it? Saddlebags?
I hope they go fucking bankrupt. I hope they go tits up. I hope they get destroyed on levels that have never been seen on Earth. This is a disgusting fucking company, and the fact that North Carolina would even consider trying to do a gut and stuff on a bill to give them a get out of jail free card, your ass can break off and float the fuck away into the Atlantic Ocean too, you fuckers.
Yeah, well, anyway, so we have it. So now we're to the celebrity death segment here.
Or what it's been come to be known as.
Yes, exactly. Iconic rock band's guitarist dead at the age of 81. My heart just hit the ground. Yes, well, you have to have Mick Ralph, the guitarist and co-founder of Bad Company, died at the age of 81, the iconic rock band announced, and bandmates posted a message about the death to social media.
Thank you for your courage.
Now, I was never a huge fan. I don't know. The Bad Company does have some good songs, but it was never one I got really got into that much. Although I did buy some on vinyl the other day. So, I guess I figured I should probably have a little bit. But I think I've got.
They're not terrible. I mean, they got a few good jams.
Yeah, that's right. Well, however, I think this is both of our jams, it turns out.
This is definitely sad and also totally on brand for us because Richard Hurst, the Dukes of Hazzard actor, has died at age 79.
Deputy Cletus Hogg is running this town now, and when I say jump, I want everybody to jump.
Yeah, for those of you who have never seen that, he locked himself in the damn jail cell. So Richard Hurst, best known as Deputy Cletus Hogg on the Dukes of Hazzard, has died, according to TMZ. His first wife, Candace Konecki, tells TMZ, Rick passed away on Thursday in Los Angeles. She said his death was unexpected, and at this time, the cause of death is still unclear. Now, I believe, Foamboy, you told me, he was actually supposed to make an appearance in Gatlinburg at Cooter's Place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he was. Yeah, he was still active. So you know. But yeah. So it was kind. It was very unexpected. I think that was kind of the. That was the impression I got from the story. I think so. You know. Hopefully nothing bad happened there. But you know.
He was 79, for fuck's sake. It's not like he was young.
No, but you still don't want to have anything bad to happen. I mean,
no, but we'll definitely keep y'all informed if they do come out with a cause of death. Yeah. It is sad. I mean, yeah. I'm all joking aside, and that doesn't happen often.
Well, I think
it is sad.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know what?
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go. We gotta go play. We gotta go play in Studio 33 and maybe play some Cards Against Humanity. I don't know what the fuck we're doing tonight, but we're.
Wow, are you throwing it out there already, there, Sir Phone Boy? Just kind of putting your dick on the table, saying anybody wants to play Cards Against Humanity, shout about it in the chat.
I think that's probably what I'm doing.
I think that's exactly what you're doing. But right. At this point,
yeah, you know what? I mean, seriously,
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.